Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Real American Man, from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, we're talking about catching the foxes, the little foxes that can destroy us. They're subtle at first, creep up in our marriages and our lives, but they can destroy everything. Maybe you started out just looking at local department store summer clothes magazine models and the sports magazines, cheerleaders and swimsuit models. That was enough either, so you start looking at more. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs or adultery. Whatever it is, God wants us free from it. Call in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, call in number is 323-642-1089. Leave us comments on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and all of that info is on our website at www.realamericanman.org. This is Billy Crocker, and you're listening to Real American Man Blog Talk Radio. So the little foxes. You know, I tell you what, that's the things that will creep up in our marriages, in our parenting, in our work life. You know, the thing is, little foxes, it was really something that could be discussed during the time that the Book of Song of Solomon was written, because it was a common thing. It's told in several different pieces of history that foxes would come in the middle of the night, and they would subtly come in, they would destroy the vineyard, and it was such a problem that that the farmers would actually camp in the fields to be able to protect their crops, because foxes are sly, right? And so they are sly, and they create destruction in the vineyards for the farmers. And so, you know, they would just absolutely destroy both the fruit above the surface and the roots below, because they would burrow. And they would get into those roots as well. And so it wouldn't just destroy the surface, but it would certainly also destroy the roots, and then it would prevent them from having a crop that year entirely. Now, you know, the background of Song of Solomon, of the story that we're talking about there, of course, a lot of people think that Song of Solomon has to do with the relationship between Christ and the church and the world, and it's certainly an interesting perspective to look at it that way. I'm not necessarily going to say that that's wrong, that that's a wrong perspective, but another perspective that I think could be equally right that we can still glean from is a relationship between a young woman and a young king, and his desire for her and her desire for him, and this whole romantic courting, if you will, leading up to an eventual marriage, and how they are definitely wrapped up in each other. They, figuratively speaking, they are very in love with each other. They are they believe each other to be extremely beautiful and handsome, and they cannot stop thinking about one another. It's all of those butterflies of that initial love scene that many could compare with. And what you see is them going through that process of being very tempted. I mean, you can read it in the words, the temptations that are flowing through their bodies to be with each other in a more intimate way than just this courting relationship. And they continually, very very appropriately, hold off on all of this until the day of their marriage. What a honor to do something like that, to be able to say that you did something like that. What an honor. And so I think it's a great way to look at it in that aspect as well, you know, that, yes, this king is, this young king, he is a great person and has apparently an attractive, he's apparently attractive, and being a young king, I'm assuming he has wealth and has a lot of the things that this young woman is looking for. But you see that it's more than that, you know, because if it was just the money and the, you know, and the fact that he's a king, and then it would just be that'd be all there is to it. You know, would just be the marriage, because that's all that she's got to get to. But she cares more about that. She really does care for him. He really does care for her. And how do you see that most brought out? To me, you see it most brought out in the fact that they wait. What a concept, waiting. Patience is a virtue. Amen. Patience is a virtue. And so, you know, this is just, like I say, it's one of those things that that we have to consider, is that, you know, that patience is something that we should be able to accomplish. So kind of the background, like I said, of what's going on here, you see that the young king is noticing, I guess, a little bit of a shyness in this young woman. And essentially, we see in verses 14 and 15 that she is hiding from him. She's actually hiding from the king. And because she's, you know, maybe embarrassed, you know, it doesn't specifically say, but it seemed as though that that they are just that she's very shy, because she realizes kind of what how he makes her react, and she's having a problem with it, you know. And it's possible too that you know, because what we know, what we see from the background of this is that the young woman, that she is very possibly from a country life, a poorer life than what this young king is from. And so maybe she's a little bit overwhelmed by all of that. And she is not sure if she actually wants to marry a king. And that's obviously a very possible scenario as well. And, you know, it's also possible that maybe she's upset at this point in time. But either way, she's trying to keep herself away from him, as we come into verses 15, when it talks about catching these foxes. And so, you know, the other thing that's great too is when it talks about there at the end of that verse that our vines are, because it says that the foxes, they spoil the vines, and it said that their vines are they're tender. And some other translations say it in different ways. I think that's the King James Version that says that they're tender, that they're blossoming, they're in bloom. But basically, it's new, it's fresh, right? And this problem, whatever it is, right? Solomon is saying that this could destroy their relationship, in a sense. You know, whatever is going on, we need to catch that. If it's that you are tempted, you know, to lust after me, if it is that that you are upset with me, but these things, these little things now can become big things later, right? And of course, we know this. We are no strangers to that. You know, anything that we do, we have to realize that there are consequences for our actions, and that things can turn out a whole lot worse than what we had originally planned. And we have to go back to those actions, whatever our decisions were, whatever our ending, basically, result was. We have to look at that decision. What did we choose? What did we go with? You know, if it's a job decision, or you know, whether to take a left or a right turn at an intersection, if you're not sure where you're going, how did that turn out? Well, you can go back to that decision. Oh, well, you know, it didn't turn out very good because I should have went right and I went left. And of course, that's a very basic example, but an example nonetheless. And so, you know, so this is the thing, is that they are in the beginning stages of their relationship, and they need to figure out, what is this deal? What is going on? You know, my wife and I have been married for going on 7 years this year. We'll have been married for 7 years. We have two children. We have a four-year-old son, nearly seven-month-old daughter. And, you know, it is certainly the little things that can become the big things. That's the truth of it. And, you know, and you don't think when the little things happen that they are anything, because they're so little. You just don't really consider it to be something that's worth talking about, that's worth getting upset about, that's worth bothering with, and or, you know, or getting into an argument over. And so you kind of make those compromises, And then, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, all of a sudden, this is something that you're thinking about, like, you know, I really should have said something then. You know, I should have been bringing this up a long time ago. And it's not really the proper way to do it, you know, because now you've really made a life together, and it can be difficult to just kind of to reset, in a sense. It's a whole lot easier to reset a video game than it is to reset life. You just don't have opportunities to do that. And so no matter what the you know, the reasons are why you may feel like that you're hesitant to share something with your spouse or with your girlfriend or your fiance or your friends, whatever the situation is, if there's something in your relationships where, you know, where you are hiding something, if you think that it's just something little, let me encourage you right now, it may not be. It may not be. And so this is extremely important. Well, that was just kind of a very long introduction, I guess, to this, to what we're going to be talking about today, the little foxes. And we're going to go in further into this, and we're going to go to some of the verses after verse 15 as well. I do want to share with you that something that I've been researching for this radio show is the necessity of permission rights. You know, there is a lot of things out there, even with just sharing a Bible verse, that that I didn't quite realize. You know, this, as I shared at the beginning show, you know, this is a passion of mine. I feel like that there needs to be an opportunity for men to be able to talk about various issues. There's a lot of things out there that are set directly for parenting. There's a lot of things out there that are set directly for pornography. There's a lot of things out there that are set directly for alcohol abuse or marriage. But there isn't really, at least that I have found, a radio show particularly, because I think talking about it is extremely important. I know that as men we don't really care to talk about things, but we need to. That's part of the problem. We're not talking about it. And so I haven't really found a radio show in particular that discusses a wide range of these things. You take some of these organizations out there that talk about parenting, talk about marriage, talk about pornography, but it isn't directed towards men, right? It's directed towards the family as a whole. And I can think of a few organizations like that where it's directed towards the family as a whole. I want this show to be specifically about men, about how we are as fathers, as how we are as husbands. And I want it to be an opportunity for people to call in and to discuss those things. And let's just hash it out. Let's just, you know, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's talk about these things. And let's work through this. And I'm hoping to be able to bring people onto this show that are a lot more important than I am, that can give better advice, wiser advice. I do want to be able to read Scripture. And so I kind of ran into a problem today as I was preparing for the show of what do I do now, because I don't really have enough time to get permission rights from, you know, NIV or ESV or KJV or what have you. And I don't want to be breaking any laws or anything like that. So that's the reason why I'm just kind of giving a paraphrase of these verses and not really quoting them verbatim. And that's the reason why I'm doing that. Same thing goes for some resources that I was hoping to be able to bring up today from different books. I'm going to tell you the title of those books, and I'm going to encourage you to go look at those books yourself, but I can't really go into them on the show for copyright reasons. So I am going to work on that to try to get past that and to be able to figure out a way to be able to include all of that on our show to make it better than what it is. We do have a website now. I did mention that at the beginning of the show, realamericanman.org. That's, once again, realamericanman.org. We do have a Twitter account, so you can follow us on Twitter. You can tweet with us, and that's at RL American Man, RL American Man. Real American Man was already taken. Apparently, there's more than one of us. And so RL American Man, RL American Man is our Twitter account. Facebook, as I've already shared before, facebook.com/RealAmericanMan. We were able to get the full Real American Man on that. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number 323-642-1089. I want to go ahead and go into a moment of prayer. And before we do, I want to share a prayer request that is near and dear to my heart, and that is for law enforcement officers and the racial divide in this country as well, on both sides of it. I have been in law enforcement for a very short period of time, long enough though to recognize that it wasn't for me. And I got to tell you, these guys and gals that do this job, they sacrifice a lot. I'm not going to say that every single one of them are good and great and don't do any wrong. I know that that's not the case. There are bad people out there on both sides of the fence, unfortunately. I wish that we could have, you know, a completely integrity-filled system on the law enforcement side, and I realize that we don't. And there is great need there, and we do need to pray for that. But the chaos that really is going on right now is it's just deteriorating more and more and more and more, and it's sad. It's very, very sad. I think that we're above this. I think that we can overcome this through the power of Christ. You know, there's a section of scripture in here I was about to quote again, and I can't be quoting, so I'll paraphrase, that talks about the fact that basically love wins all. Love conquers all. And it talks about that we shouldn't be doing this, this, and this, right? It gives a list of things that we should not be doing. You know, envying after other people, coveting other things, murder, malice, wrath, right? All of these things. And then it just kind of sums it up and it says, if you have love, then you will not do these things. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. If you have love, then you will not do these things. If you have love, Christian love, agape love, you're not going to do these things. You're not going to go and murder somebody if you have agape Christian love. You're not going to have wrath against someone, anger against someone. You're not going to covet someone else's wife if you have love. We need love. We need it badly. And as men, we really should be the ones standing up for love and against all of this. Yet more and more, as you watch the television set and read the news, you see that mainly it's the men that are causing a lot of the problems. We need to stand up and stand for what's right. So let's stand up for love. So we're going to pray for two officers today, and they're officers out of Ferguson, and they have been shot overnight. You may have seen it on the news, and so I want to ask for special prayers for them. We're going to pray for them today. But I also want to pray for the city of Ferguson, and I want to pray for all the races that are included in that city. No matter their color, I want to pray for the whole city. I want to pray for this nation. I want to pray for this world, because racial divide is something that is alive, Satan. It is Satan loves what's going on right now. You know, the scriptures say, a lot of people think that Abraham Lincoln said this, but the scriptures tell us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And that is the truth. And that is within our own homes, that is within our cities, our churches, our nations, our world. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Unity is so important right now. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you would like to bring us a prayer request, you can do that on our website. I will have a form up there later today, so I guess you couldn't actually do it right now as the form is not available, but I will be putting a form up there later today for you to be able to request prayer. And I'll have a button where you can select whether or not you want it to be mentioned on the show. I will make sure to have as little bit of required information as possible. So if you don't want your name mentioned, for example, you just want the prayer read on the show, then we can do that. We can take care of that. But I will be praying for these needs on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and I want to be able to pray for you and to lift you up to the Lord. But let's do that now, and then we'll get started on the rest of the show. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and Lord, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to do this show, to be able to be in a country where we're, Lord, right here in the privacy of my own home. I can upload my thoughts, the things that you put on my heart, Lord, the inspirations that you've given me, and not have any fear of repercussions or someone barging in my door and demanding that I quit talking about you or anything like that. There's just so many things that we have to be thankful for in this country. And Lord, I just pray that that we all recognize that today, that we recognize the blessings that we have. We certainly do have things that we need to work on. We're not a perfect nation. We're not a perfect people. But if we keep our love at an all-time high, if we continue to grow in love, in Christian love, then I believe that a lot can be done. You can work through us, God. I know that you desire that. you desire to work through us. You don't have to work through us. You don't need us in your plan, but you want us in your plan. And, man, how humbling is that? We thank you for that opportunity, Lord, to be a part of your overall plan. Lord, I pray for this show. I pray for Real American Man, what it means to me, and I pray that it, that you continue to give me the inspiration to do this show, the drive. I truly do believe that it's needed, an opportunity for men to just hear from one man's perspective, just an average Joe, of the struggles that we go through as men, an opportunity for them to share their own struggles, Lord, in a non-judging atmosphere where, you know, where they can just simply call in and have an opportunity to share what they're going through in their life. And Lord, I really appreciate that opportunity. And I pray that you continue to give that to me. Lord, I pray for all the men that are listening in today. I pray for them as fathers, as husbands. I pray that as fathers they would be able to continue to raise up a generation of young men and women that can make a change in this world in your name, Lord. I pray for them as husbands, Lord, that our wives would know that we love them, that our wives would be able to see a change in us. Lord, we're talking about little foxes today that creep in and destroy our vineyards, our homes. Our wives need to see that we have a foundation in you, that we are confident that it's going to be okay. They need stability, Lord, and I pray that you help us to provide that. Lord, I just pray now for all those prayer requests that are out there that have not been mentioned, but I know that there are some. I pray for those that are struggling with addictions, with pornography, alcoholism, drugs, whatever it may be, Lord. I pray for those that are in pain, those that are in need, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, you're still listening to Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. And so what we're talking about today is the little foxes that destroy us, the American man and the little foxes that destroy us. You know, I mentioned several weeks ago on one of my very first shows about a memory that I had of whenever I was going to Bible college at a high school and the trip that I would take and where I would go and the city that I would travel through, Longview, Texas, and East Texas. I would go through there. And on the south end of Longview, there was at least, I don't know if it's still there, a gentleman's club is what it was called. Now, it's pretty obvious, and I was only 18 years old when I was heading off to Bible college, but what was very, very obvious was that it was not a gentleman's club, let's be real. That was the title of it, no doubt, but it was not anything of the definition of a gentleman. Nothing was being portrayed there that said, oh, okay, this is where gentlemen meet, right? But that's the lie of Satan, is it not? That is how he gets to us. That is the little foxes that destroy us. Because, you know, we like to hear compliments. We like for our pride to be lifted up, right? And so if it was to be called, you know, the scum club, I doubt very many men would be going to it. Oh, but it's called the gentleman's club. And so you know in your heart, you know deep down in your heart that this is wrong, that this is not where you should be, that this is not a gentleman. But they said that it's a gentleman's club, right? And these women that are in there, they're going to provide things for you. And man, you know, and it's going to make you feel better, right? But it's only temporary. Now, I've never been personally in a gentleman's club, so I don't know the full extent of it. Seen it on movies and things like that, you know, where they've gone into them. So, hey, call in, let me know about this, you know, if you know something that I don't. But they're going to provide these things for you, and it's going to cost you money, right? So there is a cost behind it. They're not going to do it for free. But you're wrapped up in that, right? Because it lifts up our pride. And no matter what it is, whether it is a gentleman's club or a video game, what do we do with video games? Let's be honest, right? If you've ever played video games, what do we usually do? We set it to the lowest setting, right? Why do we do that? Why do you think we do that? I mean, I'm not saying that we constantly set it to the lowest setting. And, hey, if some of you people are tech-savvy and extremely intelligent, maybe you set it to the highest difficulty setting because you're just that good, and good on you. But if you're not very good at those things, and I'm not, you set it to the lowest setting. Why would you do that? Well, because the game is not very fun if you lose it all the time, right? If you lose the game, it's not going to be very fun. And that has to do with our pride. That is exactly what that is all about. That's our pride. We don't want to lose. It's like when I was growing up in school. I love football. I love baseball. I still do. I love both of those sports. But, you know, I didn't play it for very long in school at all. I think I played baseball just when I was in elementary school. I don't ever remember playing in junior high or high school. I wasn't that good. Football, I didn't start playing until I was in junior high, and I only played it for 1 year. I wasn't that good. I played one play in football in junior high. This is a pretty funny story. I was already like third or fourth string wide receiver, right? Third or fourth string, okay? I'm at the bottom of the barrel as it is. So I get called on, you know, clean uniform, never played one play for the entire year. And I don't know at what point in the season it was, but and our whole entire team wasn't really that good either, I might add, but that's another story. So I get called out there, clean uniform. All right, we're going to do the play. I don't think it was a passing play. I don't recall, but I don't think it was. And I know if it was a pass play, they weren't passing to me. Okay, I was just going to go out there and, I guess, look pretty. Well, I didn't do a good job of that either. So the quarterback hikes the ball. I go for a run. I'm running, and I was short. I'm still short, but I was really short when I was in school, especially junior high. And here I come upon this guy who's going to defend me, right? Or, no, well, he's not going to defend me. He's going to destroy me. But he's the defender for the other team, right? And I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe I looked like a threat. I don't know. And maybe I had that going for me, and I didn't even realize it. But I must have been somewhat of a threat because he felt it a need to go ahead and shove me. And not only was I short, but I also didn't weigh a whole lot either. I was, maybe 80 pounds soaking wet. I don't even know. I can't even think of exactly. But I know I was scrawny, very, very scrawny. But he felt the need to shove me, and he was like, you know, towering over me, right? I mean, this guy was tall, big guy. Right, I mean, no way he was in the eighth grade. Absolutely no way. But here he stands there, and I run in. I'm just doing my job. They're not going to pass it to me. Surely he could tell that. But whatever it was for, he shoves me, and he shoves me onto the ground. And I just remember almost blacking out, really, and looking up after that going, okay. And then I got called off the field, and that was it. That was my football. That's my football story, right? That's my one and only football story. And so I wasn't very good at it. So I didn't play anymore after that. Why would I? Right? Why would I play after that? But that's how we're kind of brought up, you know, is that... Or sorry about that. We had a little bit of technical difficulty. It does seem as though that maybe part of the problem is the internet usage. And so this could end up being somewhat of a problem in the future. As I was saying, that was my football story. That's all that my football days consisted of. There was nothing more than that. That was all there was to it. And so because of that, obviously, I didn't want to play anymore. I did not want to play football anymore. Why would I want to play football? Right? Why would I? And I think that, you know, that, and that's the I guess what I'm trying to say is that pride becomes the issue, right? Pride becomes the issue. Now, I had a whole list of Bible verses that I was wanting to share today, and as I've already shared with you guys, that apparently is not something that I need to do for copyright reasons, and I'm going to be working on that. The next show that I have planned is for Monday. This coming up Monday on the 16th at 9 p.m., and that's the next show that we'll be trying to do. And so hopefully you can listen in then, give us a call in, and that'll help fill up the show a little bit. I had to change the time on this week's show It was originally scheduled for tonight at 9 p.m., and that was what I was intending on doing. We will try it next Thursday at 9 p.m., but it just didn't work out that way. And so for today, I had to change it. I've got some other things that I've got to take care of today. And this is really something that I am truly passionate about. I do hope that you know that. I hope that you're aware of the reason for this show. And if you're not, please call in and I'll share it with you. Or you can send me a message at contact@realamericanman.org, contact@realamericanman.org. Or you can send me a message on Facebook. Or you can tweet me, and I will try to communicate with you through there as well. So, you know, we're talking about the little foxes in the vineyard today. I just want to, because I'm going to share something with you here in just a minute, but we're going to take a little bit of an intermission and a little bit of a break. And so during that break, if you want to call in, guest call-in number is 323-642-1089, 323-642-1089, and I would love to hear from you. And be able to talk about some of this. We've got a little over 13 minutes left on the show. I've really enjoyed it so far today, but I want to get into something that's a little bit more deep, a little bit more personal. I want to share a personal story with you about the little foxes that can destroy the vineyard from a personal standpoint, and I hope that it can help some of you out. And so, I do appreciate you listening, and I know that I've been seeing that some of you are listening. You are calling in. Or excuse me, not calling in, but you are listening, but just listening to the archived version of the show, and I appreciate that, and we'd just love to hear from you. And so, anyways, the call-in number, once again, is 323-642-1089, 323-642-1089. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio, Real American Man. We're going to take a few minutes break, and we will be back. Talk Radio, Real American Man. We are back, and I appreciate you listening in. We've been talking about the little foxes that creep up in the vineyard and destroy our lives. So why do we not talk about these problems? You know, for Christians, I think it's fear of judgment and rejection. I can guarantee you that. You know, I never will forget whenever I was in one of my college classes, and one of the things that we would go over was the was the problem with going through, I guess, admission, right? In one of my college classes, it was completely about admission of guilt of something that you've done wrong, and the psychological aspect of that, the difficulty with that, and just the hard time that we have with that. And I think as men, we have an even harder time with it. You know, women are shy, they're embarrassed, but they have, you know, women, they don't have a problem having friends, right? I mean, they have no problems making friends, or at least not as bad as we do. Because we just don't like to talk about our problems, you know, because we need to have it all figured out. And you know, that's a biblical thing, you know, to try to have it all figured out. But not us, right? The biblical side of it is that we should realize that it's Christ in us that can have it all figured out. We are not the foundation. We are not what needs to be, I guess, the rock in our marriages and our families. We may be looked at like that, but it is truly Christ who we should rely on to be that rock in our lives. So, like I told you before the break, I do want to share with you a personal story, and this is really, it is really difficult for me to talk about. You know, I have struggled with pornography for many, many years. And the pornography addiction for me started whenever I was 13 years old. And I'm calling it an addiction. You know, it all depends on who you talk to as to what a addiction is. By many standards, I'm not necessarily addicted. But I've struggled with at least the temptation of pornography, and many men have. There are statistics out there that say, you know, 64% of American men view porn on a regular basis. And so, you know, and I've seen other numbers out there, and that was just a paraphrase number that may not be exact. But either way, I know that it's something that a lot of men struggle with, and so this may not be coming as something new to you as a man, but what I'm wanting to encourage you on is the simple fact that it is a reality in our lives. And as we're talking about today, the little foxes that can ruin the vineyards, that can creep up on us, that's something big. That's something huge that can ruin our vineyards. Very, very, very big. And I know that it's a personal issue. I know that it's very, very private. But I can tell you right now that if you are not talking to someone about it, whether you call into the show, you message me, you find a friend of yours, you need to talk to somebody about it. Because for years and years and years, I kept telling myself that I could overcome it on my own. And everything that I've read, everything that I've researched, everything that I've looked into tells me that that is an absolute lie. If you have a temptation to look at pornography, that temptation will never leave you. It's something ingrained in your flesh, okay? And until the Lord decides to take us home, we are in these fleshly bodies. All right, we're back on Blog Talk Radio, Real American Man. Still having some technical difficulties. Apparently 12 p.m. is not the proper time to be doing a radio show. Getting a little bit frustrated with the internet. And I'm really, really, really sorry for that. Okay. So let's refocus. The issue of pornography is something that is never going to go away in your life. And as long as you try to carry that burden by yourself, you are never going to overcome it. Let me tell you about whenever I was 13 years old. Some things that happened in that year. I was baptized whenever I was 13 years old. Shortly thereafter, I felt the Lord's call in ministry. I taught some classes in our youth group by the grace of my church. I taught some Sunday night lessons. A lot of involvement in the church. A lot. And I thought for sure, the more and more that I did on that, surely God would release me from this temptation. But the reality of it is, you know, is that we are only, you know, you ever heard the statement, you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? Well, there is a weak link in your body. There is something that is in you that is a weakness. And maybe for you it's not pornography. Maybe you're listening in and you're going, I don't have any problems with this. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe for you it's alcohol. Maybe for you it's drugs. Maybe for you it's video games. Maybe you're addicted to video games and it's conquering your life. I don't know what your crux is, you know, or whatever your kryptonite may be, but for those that are struggling with pornography, I can tell you from a personal standpoint that you will not overcome it on your own. And if you're saying in response to that, oh, yeah, I know I won't overcome it on my own, I'm going to do it with Christ, just me and Christ. That ain't going to work either, buddy. And here's why. Because Satan will use the fact that only you and God know constantly. Constantly. And if you've been doing it long enough, you know that's the truth. You've got to be accountable to someone. You have to be. You have to be accountable to somebody. There is programs out there. There's X3 Watch that I will recommend to you from XXXChurch.com. That's XXXChurch.com. Make sure you put that in the web address correctly. And they have programs that you can download. And a lot of the programs they have are free, but you do have to pay for some extra premium services of it. But you need that. You need those kinds of things. If you're going to be, or you need to throw your computer in the trash can. But that's truthfully, no kidding, I'm not joking, that's the alternatives that you have. Either download some type of program on your computer where you are able to be completely and 100% accountable, or throw your devices, the things that allow you to have this temptation, throw it in the trash. Because how bad do you want free from this? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. If you are addicted to alcohol, if you're addicted to drugs, no matter what your problem is, no matter what it is that is going on in your life that is causing destruction, that where those little foxes are, whatever they are, how bad do you want free from it? But the truth of the matter is that God will set you free. We've got a little over a minute left in the show. I really do appreciate you listening in. For this ending, and I wanted to get around to this. I just, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. My wife, you know, is an amazing woman, and I love her very, very much, and I love my children. And this is something that I want so badly to be completely through with. But the only way that I can do that is with admission, with openness, with prayer, with the scripture. That's the only way that we can do this. God wants us to be free. Trust me. He wants us to be free. Okay? Once again, I appreciate you listening. We've got just a little under 30 seconds left. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Real American Man.